Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher and a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder, and seeing students develop a maker mindset. And one of the areas that I think this can happen is with global collaboration projects. I've been on this series about collaborative projects. This is kind of the last one in this particular series. And so I want to think about this idea of global collaboration and what it means. And in order to do that, I want to tell you where I've been for the last 2 weeks. I've been in China. A few days ago, I arrived home after this two-week trip in China. Now, we spent the first few days doing things that were unabashedly tourist-related, like going to the Great Wall, visiting the Temple of Heaven, and exploring the Forbidden City, and that was all in Beijing. And I want to point out, people knock touristy things, but sometimes things are touristy because they're simply awesome. And that includes the Great Wall. I mean, there's no way around it. It is amazing. It's the same thing with the Temple of Heaven. It's breathtaking. It's amazing. It's certainly worth checking out. So if you're ever in China, do the touristy things. They're pretty awesome. We rode bikes on the city wall in Xi'an. It's not as weird as it sounds, I promise you. And we checked out the terracotta soldiers, which was super crowded, but also super cool. But then after that, we went and we spent a little over a week in Yuyang City. And we were with the Hunan Institute of Science and Technology, HNIST, a university that we often partner with. I got the chance to lead a seminar discussion, give a guest lecture. It was kind of nerve-wracking. It was exciting. I remember my shirt was completely drenched with sweat as I was sharing the launch cycle and design thinking with professors and students in their education department. Now, it was a blast. It was seriously really, really cool. One of the highlights for me involved visiting a middle school and a high school. It was cool to meet teachers that were passionate about their craft, who cared about their students, and it was a cool reminder that we are, in many respects, more alike than we are different. See, we were there to observe the differences between Chinese and U.S. education, but for all the systematic differences I had observed, and trust me, there were lots of them, I was struck by the fact that a 13-year-old kid in China is so similar to 13-year-olds that I used to teach. They're awkward, they're brilliant, they're hopeful, they're loud, they're bashful, they're insecure, they're worried about their peer group, and they're wanting so badly to make it in this world. And I felt in those moments this connection to the classroom. It was a reminder of the shared humanity that exists in any classroom, anywhere. And in this moment, I missed being a middle school teacher. Now, I'm not about to leave my job as a professor to go back into middle school. Trust me, I love what I'm doing. And it's so fun to work with pre-service teachers. But in these moments where I was interacting with students, I missed it. But it also had me thinking about the biggest epic fail project that I ever had as a middle school teacher. So I want to share with you this epic fail in global collaboration. So 4 years ago, I attempted this global collaboration project, and it totally, totally tanked. My students were supposed to work with students in a private school in China to solve problems, and they were going to use design thinking as their framework. But after a week and maybe a week and a half, somewhere between a week and a half of struggling, this other teacher and I decided we would just have to cancel the project altogether. We had run into issues with the Great Firewall, which is the Chinese filtering system, but also things like time differences, logistical issues, resources, Even numbers, there's a huge difference between a class of, say, 36, which is big by U.S. standards, and a class of 57, which was the case in the classroom in China. And at the time, I assumed that I had simply failed as a teacher, and maybe that's part of the deal. I wasn't organized enough to make global collaboration a reality. That was sort of the internal lesson I had. But now, after being in China, after reflecting on this idea of global collaboration, I'm starting to think that there are some takeaways about how I would handle a global collaboration project differently. Now that I actually kind of know the culture a little bit more. And a theme that you'll notice as I bring up these lessons is this idea of humility. I hadn't realized just how culturally arrogant I was when I was attempting to do collaboration. I think we were calling our project a flat world project, but the world is not flat. And that's the very first point I want to make. So point number one, or lesson number one, get to know each other first. Like I said, the world is not flat. For all the talk of globalization connecting people around the world, there are still huge differences in worldview and cultural norms. I noticed some significant differences in how we in the U.S. Approach things versus how the Chinese students approach things. And they define things like respect, social hierarchy, compliance, order, and competition really differently in their classrooms compared to how we do. And it's not that they're right and we're wrong, or we're right and they're wrong. It's just that it's different. Take a small difference that can impact how we approach the concept of creativity. The U.S. is messy, open, and decentralized. China is stable and centralized. So when we approach creative projects, this impacts our perception on things like planning or iterative thinking or rapid prototyping. It changes our approach to research, how we communicate, and how we view the planning process. The way teachers, the way students would talk to me would, in many cases, border on disrespect in a Chinese classroom. The fact that a student might call my name out without raising his hand, or the fact that they kind of dropped the Mr. from my name and just called me Spencer, or just how blunt they were about what they thought around me. That's really different to a Chinese classroom, where the way respect is defined in their rooms just looks differently. And looking back on it, I had made the assumption that design thinking as a process would simply translate across culture. Instead, I should have asked, how does culture transform the creative approach? And what does Chinese design thinking look like? And how does it differ from U.S. design thinking? In other words, I was really pretty arrogant. If we want to make global collaboration a reality, we need to recognize that cultural differences will impact our creative approach. This is just going to happen. This is why I love this idea of cultural humility. Here, students assume the stance of a learner and begin from a place of empathy rather than expertise. They realize that it takes time to understand the nuances and layers of culture, and they recognize that different doesn't have to mean right or wrong. Sometimes different just means different, and that's okay. If I were to do global collaboration projects again, I would spend weeks giving students the opportunity to ask questions and listen. I would encourage them to build relationships. Then I would spend time working together to define what the creative process would look like when students work collaboratively. This time of getting to know each other would be incredibly valuable for building trust and for making collaboration into something that actually works. Lesson number two, find the shared values. When I visited a middle school in Yuyang, a student walked up to me and asked, Do you like My Little Pony? Yeah, I guess so. I watch it with my daughter, I answered. Well, who's your favorite character? I like Twilight Sparkle, I answered. He nodded and said, me too. Oh, is that your favorite character? I asked him. No, I like Rainbow Dash the best, but I also like Twilight Sparkle. The conversation continued for a few moments, and we kind of struggled in terms of, you know, communicating. His English was a little bit weaker. There were pauses, there were ums and uhs and stuff like that. But then it ended with him saying, so we are bronies then, right? I laughed. I guess so. We're bronies. Now, this is one of my favorite moments of this entire trip. It was a small, seemingly insignificant bridge, but it was a bridge between cultures and countries. It was a reminder that we enjoy the same stories. We care about the same characters, as flimsy as that might first appear. Later, when we met up with teachers, one woman said, teaching is an act of love. It's about relationships. Another teacher said, I love what I am doing, but I wish I could do more creative projects. I want my students to become makers. And in these moments, despite the cultural differences and despite the fact that we lived miles and miles and miles apart on other sides of the world, I was reminded that we had these shared values. So as I think about global collaboration, I wonder if we need to start with shared values and desires. What are the bridges we can build? What are the things we have in common? It's true that there are major cultural differences, but what are the universal human experiences that transcend these differences? And how can we build on those so that the partnerships are actually real? Lesson number three. Identify the systemic challenges ahead of time. After presenting on design thinking, a student asked me, why isn't Chinese education promoting creativity? I then listened as they discussed the research of Yang Zhao and the bigger questions around creativity, innovation, and design. They discussed their concerns about time constraints, about a crowded curriculum, a lack of resources, overcrowded classrooms, stuff like that. They talked about the fears about students not passing the tests, about concerns with certain sites being blocked, and students not being able to work collaboratively. And for what it's worth, these are almost all the same issues we run into in the United States. Schools block YouTube and even Google Drive. We face a high-pressure system of tests and ranking. We have classrooms that have gotten incredibly crowded. And these things impact global collaboration. They change our ability to work with other classrooms. But there's also these local differences that make a huge difference as well. In the U.S., we have COPPA and KIPA and FERPA, and other policies that impact what digital tools students can use. In China, they have the Great Firewall. Now, these policy differences impact the entire technology ecosystem that students experience. It changes their ability to actually work together. Now, consider WeChat for a second. It's a fascinating super app. Now, there's a video on WeChat inside of this blog post that corresponds to this podcast, but it is fascinating to see how people use WeChat in China. They use it for communication, for collaboration. They use it to take videos. It has a walkie-talkie thing. It's a productivity, communication, entertainment app all wrapped into one super app. Now, I would love to use WeChat with students in global collaboration. I think it would be awesome. The walkie-talkie function, small group chats, and video conferencing are great for communication. But WeChat clearly violates COPPA and KIPA because of the data mining and filtering that goes on. On the other hand, Chinese students cannot use Google Drive for collaboration because Google is blocked in China. So this creates some very real issues around the technology tools we choose to use. Or consider the issue of time, time zone differences. In our case, it's about 15 hours. Means that students are working on different days. All communication must be asynchronous. That means that it's really, there's no way around it. Like, you cannot have students meeting for a video conference at the same time unless they're willing to work before school or after school. So it's going to have to happen outside of the school. Now, I still think it's possible for that to happen, but you're asking students to do something that you simply can't pull off in class. And that leads to this final question. Is it even possible for global collaboration to work? It's easy to look at these challenges and conclude that global collaboration cannot work between Chinese and American students. That was my conclusion 4 years ago. But I'm now convinced that global collaboration is powerful for students. And I'm convinced that creative teachers have a way of figuring out how to embrace creative constraint and treat challenges as opportunities for innovation. In other words, they're able to look at these limitations and say, how do we get around them? How do we solve these problems? How do we work within this creative constraint? And here's where I'm hopeful. The two pre-service teachers that went with us on our trip were able to form relationships with fellow pre-service teachers in China. My hope is that these relationships grow and that the trust increases to the point that they're able to create collaborative experiences with their students. Now, it might take time, and the victories might seem small at first, but if they're willing to take these creative risks and approach the situation with cultural humility, they can pull off something I was never able to do when I taught middle school. They can build global collaborative partnerships, and their students can engage in genuine, authentic, real global collaborative projects. Hey, thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. If you enjoyed this at all, please leave a review on iTunes. That would mean the world to me. Have a wonderful day and go make something awesome.